Today, surprise, surprise, we are going to talk about the spiritual gift of apostleship. What it means to be an apostle. Today, we're going to talk about what it meant back then, what it means today, and it's going to be good. Do I need to use the other mic? Hate that thing. Good. Okay, so our memory verse for this week is Ephesians 4:11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles. Who gave the apostles? Jesus Christ himself gave you and I the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. All were given by Jesus to equip his people for works of service. See, Jesus doesn't just come onto the scene, show us a better way, and say, okay, I'm out. He says, I'm going to give you first the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to give you apostles, prophets, teachers, to equip the saints so we can go out and tell people about Jesus. You have everything inside of you to walk out there Friday nights with a dog on Main Street and tell people Jesus loves them. To tell people Jesus has a plan for your life. Amen? Because you have been equipped. Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There are two ways of thinking. There are those that believe that the gift of that the apostles are no more. Like Jesus handpicked the apostles. They needed to have walked with Jesus and seen Jesus be resurrected in order to be an apostle. And then there are those that think that the gift of apostleship continues to this day. I believe the latter. Because it says right here, until we all reach unity in faith. And I don't know about you, but we have all not received unity in faith. So we still have apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors to equip the saints. Anybody need equipping? Yeah, we could all use a little bit of equipping. So the Strong's, we go to the Strong's Concordance, and Strong's number 652 is apostolos. That is one of the places we get the word apostle. It sounds very similar, right? And it means a messenger. It means one who was sent on a mission or an apostle. Has anybody ever been sent on a mission? To be sent, a messenger, an envoy, a delegate, one commissioned by another to represent him in some way, especially a man sent out by Jesus. And there are lots of places you can go. There are lots of people that can send you. There is no greater mission than a mission where Jesus is the one saying, hey, you, go there. Amen. To preach the gospel, an apostle, it focuses back on the authority and the commissioning of the sender rather than the one being sent. Thank you, Lord. Right? It goes back to his authority. Remember the centurion soldier? He's like, yo, bro, I'm a man under authority. I go where I'm sent. I have people under me. They go where I send them. I understand authority. When we go in the name of Jesus, it's as though Jesus is going. When you're sent, it's a good thing. And I love it so much that it is not about us. Amen? It's all about him. It's not because we're so special, we're this and that. It's because Jesus, our Savior, is who he says he is. It's because he has all authority in heaven and earth, and he chooses some Friday nights to partner with us and sends us. Or he sends sends you to talk to your neighbor, or he sends you to talk to your coworker. He sends us to do things because he's partnered with us. And he has all authority. And when we say okay, sometimes reluctantly, sometimes we're like, I know, but I'm just not feeling it right now. Sometimes we're like, hey, here I am. Send me, Lord. Whatever you have for me, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter how we get to the point of saying okay. It's that we get to the point of saying okay. Sometimes some of us are a little slower than others. But when we pick up the calling, we pick up whatever he has for us, he fills us with absolutely everything we need to fulfill his calling. And his calling becomes our calling. His mission becomes our mission in life. And that's when you reach fulfillment, right? That's when you know you are doing what you're called to do, and there is nothing in the world better than knowing you are doing the will of God. Knowing that you're partnering with the God of the universe to do what he wants, not what you want. Amen? God, I thank you. As we jump into this study on what it means to be an apostle, God, I pray that you would just show us areas that you have for us, things that you have for us to do. God, I know you want to partner with each and every person here to continue growing your family. Continuing to show people your love and the call and the plan that you have for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what is the spiritual gift of apostleship? We have this cool thing called artificial intelligence. And I asked Bing what it meant. So according to the AI bots of Bing, it's pretty good. It says that it's a special grace that allows one to be used in a way that shares God's love and builds up a community of believers. Look at what Pastor Anand does. Building up a community of believers. It is the divine ability to start and oversee the development of new churches or ministry structures. Apostles have the ability to perceive and accept God's call to lead and inspire others to grow spiritually. They are instrumental in acknowledging God's grace and authority in their daily life and the life of the church. The gift of apostleship compels people to reach out to new and unfamiliar grounds. To new and unfamiliar groups, to new and unfamiliar individuals, and invite them into a relationship with God and community. Apostles extend their hand of friendship to those of other generations, to those of other nations, to those of other tongues, to those of other to those of others, everything, right? Doesn't matter what you are, where you come from, an apostle grabs you and tries to fit you in to the body, knowing that you're important, knowing that every part of the body is needed to further the kingdom. Amen. So we're going to turn to the scripture and see some different ways that apostles were called in the New Testament. Quick, how many apostles were there in the New Testament? 12. Any other guesses? 13. A lot. Okay. Apostle, first you need to be a disciple of Jesus. So if you are a disciple of Jesus, you can check off the first requirement, because you can't advocate for someone if you don't know them, love them, believe in them, right? You need to know Jesus. You need to know that he is the Son of God and that he died for you and he died for everybody else. Amen? You need to know that he has freed you from the curse of sin and death, that he actually took your sin, took your punishment on his shoulders. And he took him to the cross. You need to know that he laid down his life for you so you can take his life up. Because that's what we're all to do. First, there needs to be an intimacy and a passion to do what he says. So, Luke 6, verse 12 says, one of those days, Jesus went out on a mountainside to pray. Just any old day, just a day. And spent the night praying to God. Spent the whole night praying to God. Has anybody ever spent a whole night praying to God? Like, it's hard, y'all, but the blessings that come from it are nothing short of a miracle. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them. So when the morning came, he brought all of the disciples. How many disciples did he have? Countless. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus, and there were multitudes of people following Jesus at this point, right? So he gathered all the disciples to him, and he called and he appointed 12 apostles. He designated apostles. Simon, verse 14, Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. That word apostles in the Greek is apostolos. It's a little bit different. Then he sends them out in the way that his witness. Then he sends them out, and they are his witnesses to their region. It's not very effective if you've got this huge world to send out 12 people and say, okay, go conquer it. 12 people is not very much compared to the whole world, right? So it does, I mean, God's, he's pretty smart. He knows what he's doing. I don't understand why you would limit it to just 12. So you need to tell people about the Savior quickly. So Luke 10, verse 1, it says, after the Lord, so that's the original 12 apostles. Now, why do we call them the 12 disciples? I don't know. They're apostles. But they were disciples. Now they're apostles. Okay, Luke 10, verse 1 says, after the Lord had appointed 72. So one chapter before, he says, okay, I'm going to take all my followers, all my disciples, and I need 12 apostles. There's a difference between a disciple and an apostle. And he pulled 12, and he commissioned them, said, you're my apostles. And then they went out, and they did good things. People were moved, spirits were cast out, people were delivered. And he's like, that was good. I should get more of those. So verse 10, he says, after this, after the first 12 were sent out, the Lord appointed 72 others. And he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Anybody go out and feel like a lamb amongst wolves? It's pretty good, right? So Luke 10, this word here where it says, and he sent the others out, sent them out. Guess what that word is? It's apostle. It is apostello. It's the same root. It's like two words. You know, like the Strong's, it has words that go together next to each other. So the first one was, I think, 652. This is 649. It's apostle. So we had 12 apostles. And now it says we have 72 more apostles. Is their job different, the 72, different than the first 12? No. There's just more of them, right? Can you get the word out a little bit faster? If you equip people with power, and then you equip more people with power, right? Like, are we more effective going out Friday nights with 2 people or 12 people or 30 people. So this word means, apostello means to send or to send away. It's the verb. I send forth, send away, or dismiss. It means to properly send away, to commission, sent on a defined mission by a superior. Do we serve a superior God? Amen. So we see two instances where Jesus handpicked, hand chose people to be apostles. There are those in the church that believe that this is gone because Jesus is not here anymore, right? He's up in heaven. He can't actually come over and say, "Oh, I choose you." But guess what? He says all the time, "I choose you. I choose you." He never stops choosing you. And I understand where they're coming from, right? I mean, there are some things that people believe that I'm like, "Whoa, my brain is much too small to even understand where you're coming from. I don't get that at all." But this at least makes sense to me. I don't agree, but it makes sense. What they're leaving out is that the God we serve is not bound by nature. The God we serve is not bound by the laws of nature. You know why? He created the laws of nature, and he's God. He can do anything he wants. So we can't limit God just because something does not naturally occur one way or another. If Jesus says something, nature always follows his command. Always follows his command. When God says do something that is not natural, I encourage you to do it and watch and wait for him to show up. It is natural. It is not natural for a river to stop and the waterway that water was flowing over to instantly dry up and a whole nation to walk over on dry ground. Anybody see what's going on in Nevada? There's this, I don't know what it is, it's Burning Man. It's not a good thing. But it rained for a few days. There are thousands of people stranded inside this little area because they can't get out because it rained a little bit or it rained a lot. God took an area that had been saturated by water from the beginning of time and in an instant dried it up. And they walked across. They didn't get muddy. They didn't get anything. Because God is not bound by the laws of nature. Is it natural for prison doors to just open up so God's chosen can just walk out? No. Is it natural for a dead body that's been in the grave for so many days that it has started stinketh? Now, the whole reason Jesus waited, I believe, so it removed all doubt that he just naturally woke up. His body is decomposing, but Jesus steps onto the scene. He says, "Lazarus, come forth." And guess what happened? Body healed. Stench went away. Maggots left. And Lazarus walked out. Now, what would have happened if Lazarus was just like, "Yo, I'm done"? Like, it doesn't matter. When Jesus says something, nature follows Jesus' command. And what do we call it if it's not natural? It's supernatural. Adam gets a brownie. No. You can have a scone, though, from Panera. You know why Jesus cursed the fig? No, never mind. We don't have time. Okay, let's go to back to Jesus personally anointing the apostles, okay? Remember a guy named Judas Iscariot? What did the disciples do after Judas hung himself? They went and they're like, hey, Judas has a little ministry here. We need someone to take over his apostolic ministry. Now, was Jesus there? No. But they needed another apostle. Jesus wasn't there, but they said, okay, we're going to prepare, we're going to get this ready, and then we're going to draw straws to see who it is. So they were like, okay, we know we need one. These two men are the ones that are, they're both qualified. And then we're going to draw straws, and we're going to leave it up to Jesus to do it. So let's just read that real fast. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. It was a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the good Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and he said, brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. Now, this is very cool that last week, what did we talk about last week and the week before? And I was going to talk about again, but this is so cool. So, prophecy, right? Another spiritual gift that is like just kind of put on the back burner, like just very confused, like apostle. Like, I didn't ask. Who feels like they have the gift of an apostle? An apostolic gift. Maybe after. We'll have some people that think they do. So, but they relied on prophecy. And you can go back to the scriptures where in the Psalms where David, the whole reason they chose another one was because they knew, and I don't even know how, honestly, because I like looked at it for way too long or not long enough. But they knew that the prophecy was about Judas, so they chose another one. Because it said, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, and let no one dwell in it. And in another spot it says, may another take his place of leadership. Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men. And I think I think it had to be insight from Jesus that just wasn't recorded. Because it literally doesn't make sense to me why they chose. It just doesn't explain it. So I think that, you know, Jesus said a lot that wasn't recorded in the Bible, right? They knew that it meant they needed to replace him. So verse 21 says, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time that the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of those must be a witness with us to his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. And you never heard about poor Barsabas ever again. Poor Barsabas. He's probably still pouting. So they prepared everything, and then they let Jesus do the picking, right? Because who picks apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists? Jesus picks them for us, for the edifying of the church. So now we've got 12 apostles, plus 72 apostles, plus Matthias, who took over for Judas. So, yeah, so what is that? 85 apostles so far, and we thought that there were just 12 initially, right? I mean, we thought that there were 12 of them. So, anybody ever hear of a guy named Paul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul? Did Paul walk with Jesus? Did he talk with Jesus? Personally, yeah. Paul's a little bit different. And it's not like Jesus, but it is. Okay, let's just go read about him. Was he with the other 12 apostles the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among them, beginning from John's baptism to the resurrection of Jesus? No. There we go. But he was a witness. Was he a witness of Jesus' resurrection? Negative. But did he know Jesus? Yeah. Did he talk with Jesus? Yeah. Did Jesus handpick him for the job of apostleship? Yeah. Acts 9, verse 1 says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, I love this passage. Like, if you think there are people that are just too far gone, too out of reach for the grace of God, just go read Acts 9 over and over and over. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as their prisoners to Jerusalem. We talked about Pastor Anand's brother, who the Hindu religious leaders went and attacked him, right? That's what Paul was doing, except he had the authority from the government. Who knows the government's corrupt? No, I'm just kidding. The government back then was corrupt. I'm not saying our government is corrupt. So, Paul had the authority from the leaders to go persecute anybody who belonged to the way, which we would call a Christian. Anyone who followed the teaching of Jesus Christ. Paul had the authority, and he was going there. And he asked him for letters to the synagogues. Anyone who was found belonging to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Is that natural? No. It's supernatural. Right. So a light flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul, being very perceptive, says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." I think it's very interesting that Jesus says, "You're persecuting me." Not "you're persecuting my church," not "you're persecuting my flock," not "you're persecuting the poor little old ladies who are just trying to whatever." "You're persecuting me, Saul." Verse 6, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, what God would say, this is a man who's going to persecute. He witnessed and was behind killing Christians. And like that, Jesus says, "Go, wait." Do you think it was pretty impactful for Saul? Yeah. Yeah. So verse 7 says, "The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and he did not eat or drink anything. But in Damascus, there was this man called Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias." And Ananias says, "Yes, Lord." Because when you walk with Jesus. When you hear his voice, you don't have to say, "Who dat?" You say, "Yes, Lord, I know it's you." Because the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. Amen. So Ananias says, "Yes, Lord, what can I do for you?" And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on the name of the Lord." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go." Go. The Lord sent Ananias. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him now how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias didn't get into a discussion with God. He just went. Now, if Ananias was like some of us, he may have said, "Yo, bro, I don't know. I'm just not feeling it about this guy." Has anybody ever come across someone who God said, "Hey, they need my touch. They need me." God's commissioning you, and you say, "Eh, he smells. I've seen what he does to people. It's not good. He's mean." But not Ananias. Ananias says, "Yo, I'm your man. I'm going." So then Ananias, verse 17, he went to the house and he entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, Paul was an apostle who never met Jesus in person during his earthly ministry. However, Paul did meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. Anybody know how long after Jesus' death did Paul meet him? No one ever thinks about it, right? I never thought of that until you're studying for a sermon. Huh? 40 days? Anybody? It was likely 10 to 14 years after. That's crazy, right? So, Paul was an apostle, and he did meet Jesus. Have anybody ever meet Jesus after Jesus walked on the earth? Yeah, that's the second qualification for an apostle. What if Ananias said, "Yo, get someone else"? He would have lost out on the blessing because, let's be honest, God would have chosen someone else. He would have been like, to the next guy, he'd be like, "Hey, I gave this to Ananias." He said, "Nope. So you get the blessing." We likely would never have even heard of Ananias. We would have heard about the other guy. So, can you see how it takes people who know who they are in Christ, who are obedient to their call, and who are not ashamed of the gospel to spread the message that we've received? It's important to share the good news to people, to transform our community. Now, I'm not going to go over more. I mean, I'll touch on them, but I'm just going to touch on them. There were more people. There were more apostles in the New Testament. Apollos, Epaphroditus, James, the Lord's brother, Barnabas, Andronicus, Junia, I know, girl, crazy. And you know what's cool? She's not even called an apostle-ess. She's just an apostle, just like the others. Because in the Bible, there's not Jew or Gentile, man or woman, black or white, rich or poor, Republican or, well, no. Then there's Junia, and I'll have Amy put these in like the devotional. So if you want to go read about the other apostles, you can do that. Titus, and then we have the really popular apostle. He was an unnamed brother of Titus. Can you imagine walking, doing all of this, and you don't even get your name in the book? Because Titus takes all the glory, for crying out loud. And then there's another one. He's called the other brother of Titus. I can just imagine Titus was the favorite, right? Jerk. Then we have Timothy and Silas. So as far as a... I'm not allowed to say jerk in church. Yes, dadgum. So we have 12 apostles. Then we have 72. Then we have one, Matthias. Then we have Paul, and then we have these other ones. They're either named as apostle or those who were sent forth apostolically. Because the words sent forth, the words apostle, they're all from the same word in the Strong's Concordance. Total, there's about 83 of them. So, is Jesus still in the apostolic business? I think so. Do you think that the apostolic gifting is still for today? I think so. Yes, just like the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers have continued throughout the years, although I don't understand why apostles and prophets are kind of not talked about. Because they are so, so needed. So what do apostles do? Apostles go out of their way to serve. They go out of their way to serve the body of Christ. Apostles, most apostles, I think apostles operate in many giftings of the Holy Spirit, right? Like, you've got people that, this is my gifting, and then you've got a couple of people that, hey, I'm heavy on this one, and I've got a minor in this. But I think apostles operated in a lot of different giftings. They're likely evangelizing Friday nights, probably with dogs. Praying for the sick. They probably have a strong healing ministry, right? They're probably not afraid when they're out ministering to people, and a demon rears his ugly face, they probably don't freak out. They're like, get out of here in Jesus' name, because they know the authority that they have. They're confident in telling the little minion of Satan exactly where to go, setting the captives free, because they know that greater is he who is in them. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world, right? If we know that, we can walk out on Main Street and talk and tell people about Jesus. Funny story. Oh, this morning, hope I don't lose my place. This morning I get a message from some guy not in America. It may have been a girl. Probably was a girl, actually, now that I think about it. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know on Facebook how you get like these messages? You have a friend request. I very often get a friend request again and again from a friend that I have. She's always getting spammed or whatever. So 3:33 a.m., I get a message. Hello. I knew instantly that it was this person trying to do whatever, take all my identity and everything I own and everything. So I respond. You heathen, you. No, I said, do you know how much Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life? I figured 3:30, no one else is up. I can just talk to this guy about Jesus. And he's like,
I am doing pretty good.
Now, I didn't ask him how he was doing. I was probably talking to a robot, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know. So he says, I'm doing pretty good. Glad to hear from you, and it's really nice to hear from you. Hope you have heard about the news yet.
I said, I really have. I have heard about Jesus.
He is God, the Son of the Most High God, and he came and he died for your sins to restore you back to your Heavenly Father, who loves you so much.
This is a guy trying to scam me. I love him.
I said, how are you doing? Do you know Jesus? He says, I'm wonderful. Have you heard about this new program that's going on? I said, have you heard the good news of Jesus? What is your name? I'd like to pray for you. He says, it's a department, blah, blah, blah. I said, he says, have you received anything from them? Oh, he says, it'll help you. I said, Jesus has answered all your problems. He's the only one who can save any of us, and he loves you so much. And then he gave me a thumbs up. And then he went on to tell me about it. And he says, you can apply here. I said, I've already applied. I am part of the kingdom of God. I am accepted into his family. It is so good, I just want to tell everybody. He gave me another thumbs up and left. I was saddened. But that was kind of cool. So they know that greater is he that is in him. They know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in them, and they walk in that authority. Is that possible for us today? Every single day. So does Jesus, when he calls us, does he just leave us and say, okay, figure it out? No. So we're going to read 2 scriptures that happen after Jesus called the apostles. The first one is Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called the 12 disciples, this is the original, together, and he gave, this is right after he called them. He called them together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. And this is where, I gotta be honest with you, this is where I go, whoa, this is hard. This is hard for me. He says, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. Don't take any provisions because I'm going to provide everything you need. Because I believe in order to walk fully in the call that God has for you, you need to rely on him 100%. And that's hard for me.
Do I know that he'll provide for me? I do. He does all the time. He is so, so good to me.
And he says, whosoever house you enter, abide and thence depart. And whoever will not receive you, go ye out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Not healing some places. Not, oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened 3 weeks ago on a Tuesday night. Everywhere they went, they healed. Luke 10, this is after he's given the 72 pretty much the exact same instructions, you know, about don't take anything, I got you, and stuff like that. Luke 10, verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus is like, whoopty stinking do. Like, I was there when Satan fell from heaven. And he said unto them, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, absolutely all, the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall. I have the authority, and I am giving you all authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You think Ananias knew that? I think Ananias had a brief moment of, is this the same Paul, the same Saul that we've been hearing about? Yeah. But he knew his position in Christ. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, because this right here just puts us at ease that it's not about us, right? We have a tendency to elevate people, to elevate ourselves, to try to make ourselves bigger. Jesus says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He says, comparing having the demons under your feet, having authority over all the demons, or the fact that your name is written and that you go into heaven, that your relationship with the Father is restored, that's what you can be excited about. And that's what's available to everybody, right? Because not everybody is going to walk apostolically. Not everyone is going to walk in the authority and be casting out demons, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? It's never us. It's always Him in us. He gives apostles, those who are sent authority over the enemy so that they can do the work of the ministry and build up the churches so the church can expand. They're there to make disciples and transform communities. Amen? Acts 2, this is just a very cool picture of the early church, and I don't necessarily think it has to be the early church. Like, we can see some glimpses of it here, and it's really good. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of prayer. Everyone who was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is why we have met all summer in our homes. It's doing life together. I say that very often. I love doing life with you, right? And it's really good when I see other people saying, it's good to do life with you. It's good. Verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Amen. And we're seeing that here. We're seeing a glimpse of it, guys. There are so many people outside these walls that need Jesus. There are so many people that need a family. They need some place that they can feel like they belong. Amy's word is very, as things kind of unfold and you let God know that you're willing to do whatever He wants you to do, it's very cool to see things. It wasn't that long ago that we had been given a prophecy of expansion, of more and stuff. And then Amy went down to Julia's church down in Pennsylvania, and he was talking about expanding the church to the waters of the Susquehanna. And God spoke to her and said, who will take the headwaters of the Susquehanna? Because we are the headwaters of the Susquehanna. You know, there are some spots of Susquehanna we can jump over. And then you go down, and it's like, whoa, you can do whatever. I mean, Susquehanna gets really big. But we're the headwaters. And Amy responded, ooh, 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 here I am. Send me. Pick me. And that last week at the evening service, we talked about it. And we just said, there's an opportunity. There was a prophecy. The Holy Spirit spoke to her. And I think that we will soon see something bigger than these four walls. We're going to be open to whatever God has for us, but I don't think it will be long that we won't be able to all meet in here. Like, I think that God has people that need what he has shared with us. And we're going to be obedient. We're going to fill the need. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to point people. We're going to make disciples. And our communities will be transformed. Amen?
Anybody think they have the apostolic gifting? I see some shoulders shrugging.
Very cool. Anybody have some of the qualities of an apostle? Yeah, definitely. So study it, walk in it, be obedient. Say, here I am, God, whatever you've got for me, I want it. Amen. Next Friday. Like I said, this Friday. No, not this Friday. Friday is youth group. God, I thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you that you've called people to spread your word. God, I just pray that you would raise up apostles here, raise up people who are willing, raise their hand when you say go. God, that we would be obedient and we would go wherever you send us, God. That you would bring people through our doors, that we would be able to continue to share your good word, the good news of your son Jesus with people. In Jesus' name, amen.